Thanks for joining us for this week's message from Family Church. Now, if this ministry has impacted your life in some way, we would love to hear your story. Just email your story to us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Also, if you would like to become a financial supporter in doing ministry to keep broadcasts like this one coming to you every week, be sure to head to our website and click on the Give tab, and there you'll find the option that best fits you. Now, here's this week's message. We hope that it blesses you in some way.
I'm in a series right now called Miraculous. Miraculous. And we're going to be in Psalm 137 in verse 1 in just a few moments. I've really enjoyed this series. Miraculous means something to me. And to me, it's more than just another church slogan. And honestly, I've never really taught anything quite like this, which is exciting because it tells me that God is up to something new and good. Now, when I think about the miraculous, I think about divine interruptions. I've never heard that term before, but God has been speaking to me lately about how to experience divine interruptions in my life, personally, and in this church. And so let me give you my definition of a divine interruption. What is a divine interruption? A divine interruption is a window in time where God interrupts the daily routine of your regular life with a miracle that you may or may not have been expecting. When God interrupts the daily routine of your regular life with a miracle that you may or may not have been expecting. For example, a couple examples from the Word. The woman with the issue of blood was expecting a miracle. She said, "If only I can touch the hem of his garment," talking about Jesus, "I will be made whole." And so she was expecting it. The lame man at the temple gate was not expecting a miracle from Peter and John. He was expecting money. But in both those stories, each had a divine interruption. One expected it and one did not. And that tells me something very important. When you get your life positioned right, you can plan on the unplanned miracles of God. How many of you would like some unplanned miracles that you weren't planning on, but God was? Me too. Things that I was not planning on, but God was planning on. The lame man at the temple gate, he was planning on getting enough money, maybe for lunch that day. But God was planning on healing his legs and making him walk again. It was an unplanned, planned on miracle. I'm sure that's not grammatically correct, but it's what happened. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to give you a divine interruption. So what I'm going to teach you today began brewing in me on Monday after staff prayer. Every good story or every good fairy tale always begins with once upon a time and ends with they all lived happily ever after. So once upon a time, there were three bears, blah, 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 and they all lived happily ever after. I don't even remember that story. Did they eat Goldilocks? No, they ate porridge. Well, that's a boring story. Once upon a time, and then there's a lot of things that happened, and then they all lived happily ever after. And I was sharing this with the staff on Monday before prayer, and I said, a lot of people want to live happily ever after, but they can't because they're stuck in a once upon a time. And if you follow me on social media, you'll know that that was all on my heart on Monday, and I was talking a lot about that there. A lot of people want to live happily ever after, but they can't because they're stuck in a once upon a time. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a time traveler? I don't mean that you're Marty McFly and that you're traveling back to the future. I mean, do you travel back in time to days that you consider better than now? Are you stuck in a once upon a time? Psalm 137 in verse 1. If you're not careful, you can get stuck in Psalm 137 in verse 1. I want to read this verse to you this morning. Psalm 137 in verse 1 says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion." And there were seven words in that verse that just jumped out to me on Monday morning. And those words are this: we sat and wept when we remembered. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. We sat and wept when we remembered. Let's keep reading. Psalm 137 and verse 2. So verse 1 said, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion." And verse 2, it says, "There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captives, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.'" This is a perfect example of what happens when you allow yourself to get stuck in a once upon a time. And if you read that story, looking back, there was a time, apparently in Psalm 137, where they felt more joy. There was a time when they were happier. There was a time when things were working out better in their lives. And now we find them sitting and weeping and not worshiping. That's a sad story. But it's all too true in the lives of many of God's people. There was a time when you had joy, but now you're sitting, now you're weeping, and now you're not worshiping. But the good news is that God doesn't want you living in Psalm 137. In fact, God wants you living in Isaiah 61. And I want to read a couple of verses out of Isaiah 61 that God wants for you this morning, especially if you're stuck in a once upon a time. Isaiah 61 and verse 2 says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Man, we should just stop right there and proclaim this to the year of the Lord's favor. To just proclaim that this year, 2019, this is going to be the year of the Lord's favor. No matter what your once upon a time looks like, this is going to be the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you can get behind that? "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning." You see the pattern there? "A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins," now look at this, "and restore the places long devastated." That's the once upon a time. "And they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." I love that, because that tells me that God wants to give you an instead of. What did that verse teach us? That God wants to give you an instead of. God wants to give you beauty instead of ashes. God wants to give you gladness instead of mourning. God wants to give you praise instead of despair. Why? So that he can restore the places long devastated in your life. Those things that were once upon a time better than they are right now. So the miraculous that we've been talking about happens in the now. happens right now. Since we can't go back to what was, we have to shape what is. Because we're not time travelers. And we can't go back to periods in our lives that we thought were maybe our happiest or even better than right now. We can never go back to those. But what we can do is we can shape where we're at. How many of you are with me this morning? See, the miraculous that we've been talking about goes way beyond just the Holy Spirit's power. It's also about you taking a good look at where your life is and figuring out what you can do to make it the best that it's ever been. I can't do that for you. I'm not Joshua. I can't do that for you. I'm certainly not Jesus. I can't do that for you. But I can give you the tools that will help you do that for yourself. How many of you would be in on that? Okay? All right, I hope so. Now, let's get started. We have about 5 things to talk about. Because the Bible, I have 22 minutes. I'm not going to be done in 22 minutes. I'm just letting you know right now. The Bible is full of once upon a times. And there are a lot of areas where you can be tempted to live in Psalm 137 instead of enjoying an Isaiah 61 life. See, the enemy wants you sitting and weeping and not worshiping and hanging your harp on the poplar because you no longer have a song to sing. And even when your tormentor is asking you for a song, you don't have one to give. That's what the enemy wants for your life. But what God wants for your life is he wants to give you an instead of. And so I found about 5 things in the Bible that talk about the once upon a time that I'm trying to communicate to you this morning. So let's go ahead and jump into those. First, let's begin with family. And let's start in Job chapter 18 and verse 19. Job chapter 18 and verse 19 says, "He has no offspring or descendants among the people. No survivors where he once lived." Everybody say once. Where he once lived. That was Job's once upon a time. Once upon a time in Job's life, there was a happy family living there. Once upon a time, there were happy, blessed kids. Once upon a time, there was a full bank account. Once upon a time, there was good health. Once upon a time, there were fields full of animals and crops. It all happened, but it happened once upon a time. And now we read Job 18, 19, and there is no sign of life. In fact, the scripture is really clear. It says there isn't even one descendant. You talk about happily ever after being flushed down the toilet. That was Job's story. It wasn't what it once was. And maybe in your mind, your family isn't what it once was. Maybe there are some relationships that have broken down. Maybe your marriage in your mind is not what it once was. Maybe your family life has seen better days. And here's the deal. If you're sitting around waiting for God to bring those things back to exactly like they were, you are going to be stuck in those memories for the rest of your life. And if you feel that way, you need to write this down. Restoration doesn't mean replication. Replication. In fact, biblical restoration can look nothing like what you've already experienced. Restoration isn't God reproducing what you once had. It's God repairing your life in a new and unique way. And I was thinking this week about restoring an old car. And when you restore, has anyone here ever restored an old car? Okay, lots of hands going up. So you guys are going to really understand what I'm about to say. When you're restoring an old car, you are not taking it back to its original condition. You may put an original color of paint on that car, but it's not the original paint that came from the factory back when it was made. True or untrue? It may be the same color. It may be the same kind. It may even come from the same place, but it's not the original batch. You know what I'm saying? So it gets new paint. When you're restoring a car, a lot of the parts aren't even original to the car because you get parts off of other cars, right? I'm not a car guy. I don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but in theory, I'm guessing. You go to the junkyard, your car needs this part. When you restore a car, a lot of the parts aren't even original to that car. And if the car is really messed up, guess what happens? It can be more new than old. So when you restore a car, you're not taking that car back to its original. You know what you're doing? You're taking it back to completeness, wholeness, and usefulness. That's biblical restoration. That's biblical restoration. You restored it, but guess what you didn't do? You didn't replicate it. But you did restore it. Restoration doesn't mean replication. Let me give you an example. I had a client a few years ago, back when my counseling office was open, and a few years ago, who his wife left him. And you know what? Sometimes really good people go through bad divorces. I wish they didn't, but they do. His wife left him, and she ended up remarrying, and 10 years passed. 10 years passed. And he refused to move on because instead of praying for restoration, you know what he was praying for? Replication. He wasn't praying for restoration. He was praying for replication. He was 100% convinced that life had to be like it once was in order for him to be happy. He was 100% convinced that in order for him to move forward, his wife that had remarried and had moved on 10 years ago was going to have to come back. And I never could convince him that God wanted to restore his life in a unique new way. And that he could be whole and he could be happy and he could be complete and he could move forward and he could do all those things without her. But he thought that he had to have her in order to move forward. See, God wants to restore your life. And that doesn't always mean replicating what you had. How many of you are with me? So look with me at Job 42 and verse 12, because this is where Job ended up. Job 42 and verse 12 says, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part." Isn't that awesome? Again, restoration isn't replication. God did not raise those 10 dead kids from the dead. God gave him 10 brand new ones. Right? God gave him 10 brand new ones. And your old life your life now may never look like it once looked. But you need to know that you can still experience completeness, wholeness, and usefulness. But if you're a time traveler, You fall into the trap of believing that life will never be as good as it once was because you think that restoration is replication, but we've learned this morning that it's not, right? And the new, just like if you get a car that's in really bad shape, it has more new parts than old parts, your life now may have more new parts than old parts. But God can still restore you, and that's the good news. God can still restore you. Be thankful for those times in your life that once were, and don't forget them because they're part of you, but don't stay trapped in them. Do what Job did. Live in the now and believe God that your greatest days are still coming. Job did have a happily ever after because he decided not to stay stuck in his once upon a time. Are you following me this morning? I hope that you are. Because you can stay stuck there for years, but God wants to move you forward today. All right, let's do another one. How about your health? Let's go to Job 33. Job 33 and verse 21 says, their flesh waste away to nothing, and their bones, once hidden, now stick out. There's our once upon a time. Their bones, once hidden, now stick out. Once upon a time, he was healthy. Once upon a time, his bones were hidden behind healthy flesh. Now, they stick out. I know some of you are thinking that actually sounds pretty good. I'd like to be a little thinner. I wish my bones would show. This was not Weight Watchers, folks. This was a health crisis. And sometimes we have health problems. It's kind of like this lady I know who said she was seeing three men: arthritis, Ben Gay, and Charlie Horse. Thank you, I'll be here all day. Here's what I'm saying. If you get sick, don't give up. Because I still believe that Isaiah 53:5 is truth. What is Isaiah 53:5? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. And even this morning, I was reading an article of an 11-year-old girl in Texas who had incurable brain cancer, and how that her church family rallied around her and they prayed for her every service for months. And then God supernaturally intervened and took the cancer out of her brain. Yeah. And if I were here and I had any kind of sickness or any kind of disease in my body, every time prayer was offered, I would be up here getting prayer and I would be believing God for a miracle in my life. Amen. Every time. Every time. Once upon a time he was healthy, but he wasn't now. But God can still heal you. Let's move on. Let's do another one. Again, these are all areas where we can feel trapped in a once upon a time. Let's talk about momentum just for a second. Momentum. We're going to read Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42 says, please hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you see, though we were once many, Now only a few are left. We were once many. There's our once upon a time again. We were once many. We were once great. We were once powerful. We were once moving forward. We were once victorious in battle. We at one time felt good about ourselves. We at one time were moving forward in our careers. We at one time were making headway in life, but not now. The word momentum has the idea of forward progress. And sometimes in life, it's not that things are bad, it's just that we feel stuck. Anyone here ever feel stuck? There's no momentum to push us forward. It can feel like that we're just kind of walking in waist-deep mud. Can't go anywhere. We're just stuck in our situation, whatever it might be. And most of the time when we lose our momentum, I think it's because we've decided that's just the way that it is. But how many of you know that it doesn't have to be that way? It doesn't have to be that way. In fact, Jeremiah, if you go back and you read it, Jeremiah mentions a remnant. A remnant is a small part or portion that remains after the main part no longer exists. You can lose all momentum when you feel like the main part of your life is over. And by the way, you don't have to be old to feel that way. Anyone would be honest and say, sometimes you just get trapped in stuff, you feel stuck in stuff, and then you just start to feel like the main part of your life is over. Yeah, I've definitely been there too. And that's what Jeremiah was talking about. In fact, the book of Lamentations talks about people who once thought their lives were worth their weight in gold, but now they saw their lives as worthless as clay. So what happened? They lost their value. And when you feel like you have no value, the result is you stop. There's no forward progress. So what do you do? I'm so glad you asked me. You ask such great questions. What do you do? Well, guess what? Momentum is built on movement. So whatever area you feel stuck in, get moving. Well, I'm just going to sit around here and pray and wait for God to... Listen, get off your blessed assurance and get moving. Do something about it. Because momentum is built on movement. So when you feel stuck, get moving. Or you'll always be trapped in a once upon a time. Now, let's do one more. Because I think this is one most of us are going to be able to relate to. How many of you are with me so far? Okay, I hope that you are. Let's talk about youthfulness. Some of you are laughing already. You're like... Okay, Psalm 37. David says, I was young and now I'm old. I'm going to get a t-shirt made that says that for some of you. Some of you. I was young, but now I... Listen, you don't have to be old to be old. You can be young and be old. And we're going to talk about how to be old and be young in the next few minutes. David said, I was young and now I'm old. Listen, sometimes you just have to be honest with yourself about where you're at. I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. I love that. It's like David said, not only have I never seen the righteous forsaken, I've never seen their kids forsaken. Isn't that a great promise? Youthfulness. Sometimes we aren't what we once were. There's a feature on Facebook called Facebook Memories. Sometimes that's really encouraging. Sometimes it's really sad. And it goes back like 10 years. And so I was looking at some Facebook memories this week. And when I was in my mid-30s, I was in great shape when I was in my mid-30s. And I could run over 26 miles through these hills not even stop. Just like go. I could bench press almost twice my body weight. I mean, I was in great shape in my mid-30s. And then I found my 40s. Don't get me wrong. I can still get most of that done, but I'm not what I once was. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah. I mean, I could still run 26 miles, but I'll probably hyperventilate a little bit along the way. But I could still do it. Because I'm just not physically, my body just doesn't cooperate with me like it used to. But I'm not done. And you can't be done either. And so here in this story, David wasn't young anymore. He's old now. But I want you to notice that he's not negative. He's not cynical. He's not bitter. He hasn't talked himself into believing that he's old. He isn't looking back with regret. He isn't looking back with revenge in his heart. In fact, he says, you know what? Now that I think about it, God has never failed me. God has never failed me. And David died an old man, but he lived right up until the end. And this is one of my favorite stories. Did you know that when David was very old, very old, he is still out on the battlefield fighting. And I love the story of David's very last trip to war. And I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but his men are out there fighting. And they're not just fighting regular soldiers. They're fighting giants. Not one Goliath. An army of them. And I can see David out there in my mind. I'm thinking that he's probably leaning on a cane and swinging a sword. That's the way I picture him. And if you read the story, he would have gotten killed that day, except for there was a guy named Abishai, who was one of David's mighty men, that came swooping in to rescue him from being killed by one of the giants. And so after the battle is over, all of David's men approach him and they say, King, we love you, but you are too old for this. You've got to stop this. And I just think that's awesome because that's how I want to go out. I want to go out leaning on a cane and swinging a sword. I don't want to go out in a recliner holding a remote. Some of you are like, that sounds pretty good to me. I don't know. That's pretty, maybe that's what I want to do. No. That's how I want to go out. I want to go out leaning on a cane and swinging a sword. Why? Because some people act old when they're young. You can have young old people and you can have old young people. And there are many examples of that here this morning. Your youthfulness doesn't have to be one of those things that once was once upon a time. And yes, your body will change a little, but your heart should stay young. And all of you young people should know that inside of every old person, there's a very surprised young person. Surprise. Isn't that right? And here's what you should also know. That voice that you hear in your head when you're 5 and when you're 12 and when you're 20 and when you're 40 and when you're 60 and when you're 80, that is the same voice. Even though your body gets older, that is the same voice in your head. And sometimes the voice in my head says, "We're doing this." And my body says, "No, we're not." It's like, "Yeah, we are." Because the voice in my head has stayed the same. It never changes. And so inside of every old person is a very surprised young person. And I'm about done, but Moses died at 120 years of age. And here's what the Bible says about Moses when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Moses still had it at 120 years old. We know Abraham still had it at 90 because he fathered a baby. That's the way to, if you got to go, that's the way to go, right? If you're going anyway. Now listen, seriously, I don't know what your once upon a time looks like, but you do. You know exactly what it looks like. And you will never get to the happily ever after if you stay trapped in that once upon a time. And you need to realize this morning that God isn't looking to replicate years of your life and make them exactly like they were. God is looking to restore you to where you're complete and you're whole and you're useful, and it may look nothing like what's ever been. And you can trust him with that. All right, let's stop. You guys can stand. Musicians are coming back this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, this morning we come before you, and we know, God, that there is a unique plan that has been strategically designed for each one of us. And Lord, we think about, or my mind thinks about, the restoration of that old car and how that the person restoring that old car is very careful to get all the details right, to get the paint right, to get the parts right. They'll go out of their way. They'll drive for hundreds of miles to get a bolt or to get an emblem to go back on that car because they want to take it back to like it was. And Lord, if we are that strategic in restoring cars, Lord, I think about how more strategic you are in restoring our lives. Not taking them back, not replicating where we've been, but just restoring us to where we're complete and we're whole and we're useful. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we can move into a happily ever after, no matter what our lives have looked like once upon a time. And so we pray this morning you would help us as we move into this altar time. God, that you would speak to the hearts and lives of those that are here. And God, that Holy Spirit would come and he would begin to do a deep work that I can't do. That he would begin to shift things and move things in people's hearts and minds, Lord, so that they can move forward, so that the rest of their story can be written. And I just pray that today in Jesus' name.